up. And it is, and it's appealing to Republicans every now and then. It's not just people on the left. Liza Featherstone, thank you so much for being with us again today. Again, your column is in Jacobin, and people want to read more of your stuff.
If you go to jacobin.com and search my name, there's a page where all my Jacobin articles are. And also, I write often, very often, for the New Republic.
Excellent.
Same thing, newrepublic.com. And if you search my name, all my stuff is there, too.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Very informative and very hopeful, dare I say. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bert. My pleasure.
KBU zine, The Boo Beat, is back with a second issue, featuring KBU's program guide, interviews with local activists and community members, spotlights on local businesses, on-the-ground reporting, and fun quizzes and crosswords. Our zine has its finger on the pulse of Portland, and you won't want to miss it. To snag your copy, visit kbu.fm/zine.
Hola, soy Ruth Parra y te invitamos que nos sintonices cada martes en Tonali de 2:30 a 4 de la tarde.
Soy Brenda Escobar y les traeremos entrevistas relevantes de nuestra comunidad.
Soy Victoria Hernández y junto a Edith Molina estaremos analizando nuestro próximo tema.
Nos puedes sintonizar en kboo.fm.
O pueden encontrarnos en Facebook buscando Radio Tonali.
Nuestro correo electrónico es kbootonali@yahoo.com.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Bill Bowie, co-founder of Sea Change Radio. Today on Sprouts, we talk to Alex Wise, the current host of Sea Change Radio, about his latest album called One Take. We look at the background behind this particular album, but we also spread it out to look further at his musical career up until this point. So it's something I'm really looking forward to. Sprouts. And I'm Bill Bowie, formerly host of Sea Change Radio, and I am here with the current host and producer of Sea Change Radio, Alex Wise, who also happens to be a longtime musician. He's put out a number of albums, and today I'm really excited to be talking with Alex about his latest album, One Take. And I'm particularly excited because Alex and I have known each other for, I don't know, 4 decades at this point. We knew each other as kids. So this is a special treat. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
So Alex, let's start with the background of this project. From what I understand, you have an ongoing gig on, I think, a weekly basis, Fridays, I think it is, at the Park Chalet, which is right at the end of Golden Gate Park there in San Francisco, your hometown. And this is a solo show. So you play solo on the album. Tell us a little bit about that series and what role it played in your decision to launch this project of a whole album of solo material.
Well, I always felt like I needed to kind of eat my vegetables and try some more solo work. I hid a little bit musically behind a lot of the great colleagues that I had had over the years, and I felt like I needed to stretch my legs out a little bit creatively, and having this residency really allowed for that to happen. I was able to focus much more on song selection and song arrangement and have a wider variety of songs than if it were my band, Fog Swamp, which was my last band, where everybody has to be on the same page and you spend a lot of your energy being a band leader. And as you may know from social media, there's a real explosion of people just playing songs in front of their phones and recording themselves. And so I wanted to expand on that idea and record something with better audio, but still a live feel. And so there's no overdubbing on this new album, one take. It's all one take. Not the first take, but sometimes it took dozens of takes until I got it down. But it's all there in its naked glory.
So you obviously had to have a fairly large repertoire of songs to be able to play on a weekly basis. Can you tell us a little bit about how you developed that repertoire, and to what degree did audience interest play into your song selection for this album?
Well, because I had this residency, I was able to really isolate who were my hardcore fans. And those people tended to influence my repertoire in terms of requests more than just some random person who yelled Freebird from the audience. So I had, you know, I'll have like a friend who would come almost weekly, and I know he likes Steely Dan a lot. So I always tried to have a Steely Dan song or two for him once in a while. Or I have a friend who's a big fan of The Who. You may have heard the cover of The Who's Won't Get Fooled Again on there. That's my friend Chris, who actually we saw The Who together my first time in 1982. And the last time I saw The Who was with Chris Weltzien in Oakland. These were both like farewell shows around 40 years apart.
We won't comment on that dynamic.
Right.
So some of the repertoire, certainly, or if not the majority of it, is really your favorites, your own sort of songbook of songs that you really love. What draws you to the songs that you love in particular? Is it musical? Is it connection to a point in your life? Is it the lyrics, or is it all of the above?
I think a good cover is one that you can make it your own. And so on one hand, there's some solo renditions of songs that you've really had your own unique twist on. Like I do a version of Irene Cara's Fame, which is definitely not like one of my favorite songs by any means. It's a little tongue in cheek because it's a little cheesy from the 80s and it's got all this synth and it's a very 80s sound, but just having it as a stripped down acoustic version is something that I felt was a nice way to put my own stamp on the song.
Why don't we just give that a listen?
I'm gonna feel it coming together. People will see me and cry. I'm gonna make it to heaven, light up the sky like a flame. I'm gonna live forever, baby, remember my name.
It's songs like that that are sort of unexpected, and you end up really listening to the lyrics more deeply. Like, I can't say I've ever really seriously listened to the song Fame until I listened to you playing it. And I was like, oh, this is a good song lyrically. I mean, it's got something to say. And what really interested me is that I felt like there was almost a dialogue internally on the album between Fame and Dream On, which, you know, there's sort of a similar thematic connection there. Wildly different artists. Is that something that you were you doing any sort of conscious interweaving between the songs, or were they largely, you know, unto themselves?
No, there wasn't really a lot of conscious interweaving, but it's funny you bring up Dream On, because I was going to contrast Fame with Dream On as another song that I wasn't necessarily. Like, I'm not a big Aerosmith fan, but that is a good song, and I didn't really listen to it carefully until I was like, let's try to figure this one out. And I tried to play it as accurately to the Aerosmith version as I could, but obviously I was very restricted in just doing it live on a solo acoustic guitar. So that's a different approach to a cover.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that the rendition that you did brings new life to that song, because I think we all know the sort of Steven Tyler vocals on that, and it's almost like that's what you're paying attention to, but doing your own solo rendition almost brings a new life to a song, because you're able to really kind of focus on the song and not just the oversized personality associated with it.
Yes, and when I was researching that song, actually, I didn't realize Steven Tyler wrote it, and wrote it like as a teenager or like a 19-year-old or something. And I always thought of him as this oversized big pop star guy, but it was nice to kind of think of him as just a kid in his beat up apartment in the suburbs of Boston in the 60s or early 70s, just like tooling around and coming up with this. And it kind of gave me a new perspective, a more refreshing perspective on what Aerosmith ended up becoming, at least in my mind.
Yeah, they're a rock and roll institution,
right.
And they're peopled by human beings. So that's an interesting thing. Why don't we just give that a listen? You mentioned this with Dream On, it also applies to Fame, but songs like Going to California, where you had to encompass an entire song that has much different instrumentation. And so in particular on Going to California, you're having to play a mandolin part on the guitar. And so I wonder what sort of challenges, but also sort of interesting breakthroughs that creates for you as an artist to try to encompass an entire palette of music on a single instrument, or I guess two instruments. You've got the guitar and your voice.
Right. Well, the songs that I can really have a lot more flexibility on, like Going to California or 4 and 20, the Stephen Stills song, those are songs that are in open tunings. And for non-guitarists, like guitar standard tuning is like the strings from 6 to 1 or E, A, D, G, B, E. But in Going to California, both the low E and the high E on the guitar are dropped down to D. So it's in double drop D tuning. And you can play more open strings, and you can have a drone sound a little bit. You can kind of counter your finger picking on your bass strings with some jamming on the treble strings. And Going to California is a perfect vehicle for that. I don't really know if that answers your question, but in general, the songs that have open tunings on this album are the ones where I might have a little bit more of a chance to solo.
Well, I think that we should listen to that a little bit.
Spend my days with a woman unkind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind to make a new start, going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Bill Bowie, co-founder of Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking with Alex Wise, who's the current host and producer of Sea Change Radio, about his latest album, One Take. So just listening to that solo, one thing I'm struck by is that you do really put your own signature on this. Like, that's not, as far as I could hear it, that's not necessarily the solo that Jimmy Page plays or that John Paul Jones play on the song. You really use the opportunity to make it your own while still clearly being going to California.
Yes, I'm not very good at replicating solos. I never have been. You know, you mentioned going to California, and I was talking about open tuning, and then the Rain song, the second Zeppelin song on this album, that is a tuning that I never could figure out back in the 90s when I first was in love with the song. And then because of the internet, you can now look it up and find out that it was this tuning that was, it's called open page tuning. It's basically Jimmy Page invented this tuning just for this song. And it's the only song in like the modern pop music, let's say, that is in this tuning. It's a totally weird tuning. So once I found out the actual tuning of it, like the song just opened up for me, but I had struggled with it for years. So it was really cool to be able to get like the cheat codes. I should also mention this has not only two Led Zeppelin songs on the album, but also two Stevie Wonder songs, which are both very different. One is Love's in Need of Love Today, which is like a big multi-layered song that opens up Songs in the Key of Life. And then Visions, which is on my favorite Stevie Wonder album, Inner Visions. And that's a very slow version. I do a samba beat to that. And so I tried to take my own little interpretations of one of my favorite artists and make it mine.
So we've covered a couple of Zeppelin tunes in open tuning, but another one that really caught my attention was the opener for the album, 4 and 20, which it's a Stephen Stills song from CSNY's album Deja Vu.
You mentioned it opens the album. I usually, on albums, I spend a lot of time figuring out which song should go first and which song should go third and how do you end it. But there's 28 songs on this album, so I just decided to put it alphabetically. So 4 and 20 is just the only song that has a number title. It came up first in the list.
Oh, that's funny, because it actually works very well. It's a song about youth, but also, you know, in some ways, old age and death. So it's an interesting way to start. And then you've got, you know, Frank Sinatra closing things out, which actually, you know, there's a real appropriateness to that being the last song. You know, it's also about youth.
Well, sometimes you roll the dice and things come out to make sense. I hadn't even thought of that until you mentioned it. That's really cool.
It works thematically, or at least it worked for me on my listening.
And if you should survive to 105, think of all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you'll have a head start. if you are among the very young. At heart,
I'm Bill Bowie, co-founder of Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking with Alex Wise, who's the current host and producer of Sea Change Radio, about his latest album, One Take. So you and I are both longtime Deep Deadheads, and I was interested, I mean, I kind of figured that there would be a Dead cover on this album, and yet the one that you chose is somewhat striking because it's not one that people are super familiar with. So you did Lost Sailor, which is often paired with Saint of Circumstance. They're both Bob Weir songs. What is it that made you choose Lost Sailor as your Dead cover?
This is the first Dead song that I've ever covered on album. Obviously, I've covered plenty of Grateful Dead songs over the years, and it was kind of the beginning of my guitar playing. I was learning a lot of the Grateful Dead songbook as a teenager, and we've shared that passion over the years. So it felt kind of weird not having it on there, but you know, you don't want to put something that's too overplayed. And there's so many Dead tribute bands out there playing versions of Scarlet Begonias or whatever, and I love Scarlet Begonias and I'll cover that, but it didn't seem like a solo acoustic version of that. I didn't think the world really needed that. But Lost Sailor is a really beast of a song. It's like physically tricky. Like Bob Weir has much bigger hands than I do, and so he uses his thumb a lot, and he also does hybrid picking where you combine holding the pick and finger picking, and I can't really do that. So I came up with my own little variation on it where I finger pick the whole song. And then I remember being bummed out when the Dead buried Lost Sailor after I think 85 or 86 and just played Saint of Circumstance as a standalone. It always made me kind of pine more for the Lost Sailor. It was kind of like when they played the Supplication Jam but without Lazy Lightning. I missed Lazy Lightning.
Yeah, well, Lost Sailor became Lost, and you are bringing it back to life. So thank you for that contribution. Well, on this similar theme of how to handle instrumentation in a solo context, you mentioned Won't Get Fooled Again, the Who song, and you reminded us of attending that first farewell tour of the Who in 1982 at the Worcester Centrum that you and I attended. And I don't remember if they played Won't Get Fooled Again.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
They must have.
I'm sure they did. And we should give a shout out to our friend Peter Neville, who came to that show with us.
Yeah. Of course, you know, Won't Get Fooled Again, that and Bab O'Reilly had these incredibly complex synthesizer intro parts, or actually throughout the song. And so you had to represent that on a guitar. How do you do that kind of translation faithfully?
Well, you can't be too faithful to it because it's like a programmed rapid fire synthesizer part, and it gives the song so much more dramatic tension if you have that. I think it made it much more of a anthemic song than rather something that was just a standard folk song with not that many chords.
Why don't we just give that a listen?
My head to the moon.
Well, this certainly isn't a folk song. I mean, it's really a political song and even like a critique of politics, if you will. And that's certainly an area, if we start to bring in the rest of your life, you've been very active in the political world, and not just Sea Change Radio, which you know, deals with the politics of sustainability, but also, you know, in the electoral political world as well, where you've done a lot of canvassing and activism. You also do some political work in your own repertoire of songs that you've written yourself, like Dangerous Mile and I Got Mine. How does that enliven the work that you're doing to integrate politics into it to some degree?
Well, on this project, to be honest, I didn't really think too much about politics. And we're in such a dark time politically that it was a nice escape from that. As a host and producer of a radio show, Sea Change Radio, I do have a soapbox, and I get to not only opine from time to time, even though I'm mostly asking questions, I also get to choose what the topics are. And so if something's really in my craw, I have the freedom to air those out, and listeners hopefully can get something out of it. I'm not winning any Grammy Awards anytime soon. I'm not getting millions and millions of downloads of my albums. So Sea Change Radio is probably a bigger soapbox than if I wanted to convey a political message through my music.
Well, the album does contain some songs that you've had on other albums, like Elemental Structures, Recite Your Part, and The Slow One. But here again, the question of how do you represent something that is already released in a group format or in a different format, how do you represent that in a solo format? Was it sort of novel or fun to do it in a solo format, ones that you had already documented in other ways?
It kind of revived my interest in a few of those songs. You mentioned Elemental Structures and Recite Your Part. Those were not really ever played live by my bands, even though we recorded them. Elemental Structures was a Fog Swamp recording off our first album, Slinkin'.
Well, we could do a little bit of A-B listening here. Let's hear a little bit of Elemental Structures on solo and hear a little bit of it from the full album version. Alex, the name of the album is One Take, and the idea here is that you were going to get these songs in a take. And in fact, we have photographic evidence of that because you're on video. Every song, in fact, has a video of it, and so people can check it out and see that you are, in fact, playing each song in one take, the whole 28 songs. What is the challenge of getting it all the way through in one take, and does that carry any sort of larger meaning, the idea of doing things in a single take?
Absolutely. I mean, we were just talking about Elemental Structures. That was a song that was born in the studio and kind of died in the studio until I revived it. So the songs that had more room for improvisation, those were actually the easier ones. The hardest songs that I had to nail were the ones where I wanted to be as true to the song as possible. for example, Dream On by Aerosmith, like there wasn't a lot of room for jamming because there's so many signature little guitar parts that Joe Perry had put on that song. And so that one took me, I can't remember how many takes. My hands were just exhausted from it. That was challenging in that I'm not Aerosmith. Like, and these are not just unknown songs. These are part of the American Songbook or the classic rock songbook. And how many times have you heard that on the radio? So that was one of the challenges, is to try to make it where you're not missing some signature moments to those songs.
Alex, thanks so much for joining us here on Sprouts, talking about your latest album, One Take, and folks can listen to that on alexwise.com or on your favorite streaming service. It's been a really great conversation, Alex. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to an interview by me, Bill Bowie, the founder of Sea Change Radio, with Alex Wise, the current host and producer of Sea Change Radio, about his latest album, One Take. Music you heard was all by Alex Wise and his band Fog Swamp. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Bill Bowie. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
You're listening to K-